Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We will do our best to finish up this chapter. This morning I want to preach on Christ offers new life. And here as we will read, now we'll begin reading in verse 27 in a moment. We'll read on down to the end of this chapter, Luke chapter 5. But there is a portion, there's parables that he gives about verse 36 on down. And I want to address or at least pull our points this morning and our thoughts from these verses of scriptures from verse 36 on down to verse 39. But in Luke chapter 5, look at verse 27. And it says here, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, and sitting at the reception of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them." In verse 30, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat, drink with publicans and sinners?" Now, what was going on here, just a little bit of background with Levi. This is Matthew, and so we see that he was working for the Roman government at the time, and he was dealing with setting at the receipt in verse 27, the receipt of a custom, and he said unto them to follow me. And so we see that the Jewish people, especially the Pharisees, the religious, they didn't look at Matthew, although he was probably Jewish, they didn't look at him very favorably because he was working for Gentiles. And so they looked on him as a sinner. And so this is to kind of spark some interest. And as Christ begins to deal, not just with those that are there, the disciples, but also the Pharisees. And we're going to look here this morning at this. Now, verse 31, as we read on, "And Jesus answering and said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? He says, But thine eat and drink. And he said unto them," verse 34, "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Verse 35, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new garment not with the old." He said, "Of the new agreeth not with the old." Verse 37, "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine would burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles would perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Verse 39, "No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. And Father, I ask that you would, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit, be with my words. And Father, I pray that you would be with your message that you had laid on my heart and given me. I pray that it would find a place in the hearts of your people, that we would edify those that need edification, that we would lift up those that need to be lifted up. And Father, those that need corrected, that would find correction from your word. And Father, a blessing for those that need a blessing. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. Here, let me say, in the world today, many people are trying to patch together all the different religions. You'll find in the last days, according to Revelations in the book of Daniels and the portions of scriptures that deal prophetically with the times we're living in the future to come, that one of the pushes will be to organize a world, the world as a whole. They want a one world order as far as economically. They want one currency. as far as the world dealing with the religion. They'll want one religion, and they'll try to bring all the religions together. That's been going on since Jesus Christ showed up. That's been going on since the beginning of time. You can look back in history. You can go pretty far back. You look at the Tower of Babel. That was man saying, look, we need to make a name for ourselves, and we need to come together. We need to stay together. We need to build a tower to heaven. Basically, all that involved is we're going to do all this without the God of heaven. And when we get into our age and where we're at and looking ahead, prophetically speaking, from this time forth, and I'm speaking of 2024 and on, you and I are going to see that the religions of the world want to come together. And they'll do it for unity, they'll do it for safety, but it will not be because God is calling them to do that. It will be because there is a false spirit that is calling them to do that. He desires worship. This Antichrist, this false prophet, and no, I'm not going to go there and preach on him this morning, but I find that this is amazing. This is what they wanted in this time. And so we see Christianity cannot be patched with other religions. And I said Christianity can't be patched with other religions. And so it is the only true religion according to the scripture. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so looking at a man that's been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, he is a new creature. Christ is not trying to patch up your old life. He is creating a new life. That's why we look at Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he says, look, you must be born again. He didn't say, I'll take your old life and make something out of that. He says, no, I'm going to give you new life. You need to be born again. This morning, if you've never called on Jesus Christ as a Savior, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And so here we find the religious order of this time, the Pharisees and scribes, they begin to question his reasoning and his thoughts. And so he addresses it, and you say, well, did they get it? I'm not for certain, but I want to deal with verse 36, and we're going to see our first point. I want to say this, our first point, false religion cannot produce the righteousness of Christ. False religion cannot produce the righteousness of Christ. Now, as a whole, when I say religion, I mean any denomination that does not name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. So we see, first of all, false religion cannot produce the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 36 with me as he begins to address this question that is put to him. And so we see here in verse 36, and he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Basically, what he's saying is, look, you're ruining the new garment because you've taken a piece out of it, and then taking that piece of new cloth and putting it on old cloth, that new cloth is going to be stronger, and it's going to cause another rip. It's not going to work. And so Christ begins to use these parables to teach a lesson to the Pharisees. I want to say this, Jesus was not placing his teaching on an old movement. You see, the religious crowd, I'm going to call them Judaizers, those that were in favor and taught and agreed with and tried their best to live according to Moses' law, thought, well, that he would use Judaism and he would teach his way, his truth on an old movement, the Judaism. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Let me say this, Jesus does not patch up your old life or my old life. He gives us new life according to Scripture. So Judaism was a worn out garment, if you please. This is what Christ wanted them to see in a picture as he framed this picture with words. And so it was an old garment. And Jesus did not come to be patched into the law, amen, but to fulfill it. And this is what Matthew chapter 5 speaks of. By fulfilling the law, Christ, Jesus, could accomplish a new covenant. not a continuation of the old, and it was purchased in his blood according to scriptures. Let's go over there. Look at Galatians. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, so Galatians. Right after the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Get over there myself. Galatians chapter 3. We notice that we see here that Jesus definitely indeed was not placing his teaching on an old movement or old religion. Galatians chapter 3, if you'll notice with me, verse 23, and what the Bible says. He says here, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. You don't think for a moment that Jesus Christ was doing his best to reveal that faith that was shut up to be revealed to the Pharisees. They were the one asking about this, and so he wanted them to see this and what he was saying. And so we see here, we read on, look at verse 24 there in Galatians chapter 3. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That faith and by faith is found in Jesus Christ. Hence, that's why this morning and all across the land, you will hear preachers preach about this faith found alone in Jesus Christ. That gospel is an offer that Jesus Christ gives, and he gives new life. Not a patched up life, not a rebuilt life, but a new life. He gives new life. So we see false religion cannot produce the righteousness of Christ, or else he would have been stating this and teaching this. But there's more here. There's more here. I want to look at verse 37. So he says something else here in verse 37 as he's laying this teaching and answering this question that is put to him here in this setting. But we see in verse 37, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. So we see here that what was he saying? Well, secondly, I believe what he's saying here is false religion is not accepted in God's grace. False religion is not accepted in God's grace. You're not going to get God's grace through false preaching and false teaching. That's what Christ is laying out here. And the Pharisees and the scribes thought, well, this is possible. You should align with us more than we should align with you. And Christ is saying, look, here's the analogy. And he lays out in verse 37, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles. You see, what is going on there? Well, it was very common at that time. And even today, if you do a little research, that when you're dealing with new wine, and when I say new wine, I'm speaking of grape juice, by the way, it's a new wine, and so you would not put it in an old bottle. Back then, they would put it in skins, and in animal skins, like a goat skin or a calf skin. And so if that was an old bottle, it would be cracked. And as that new wine began to settle and to ferment, amen, that old skin would not hold that new wine, and it would burst asunder. You would have a waste of not only that old bottle, but you would have a waste of your new wine, your grape juice, if you please, which you were going to drink. They didn't want to do that. They weren't about wasting something. So this was an important teaching. And basically, see, what is he saying? You cannot mix grace and works. The Bible is clear on this. You cannot mix grace and works. Look at it. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. This is what was going on. This is what he was teaching. We're in Luke, and I was just in Galatians. Let's move a little bit further past Galatians. Turn to Colossians, and let's notice a few verses here that will help us make this point. If false religion is not accepted in God's grace. You see, can God use a little bit of falseness with truth? Not according to the Word of God. God is a God of truth and must be worshiped in truth and spirit. And so we see in Colossians chapter 3, notice with me verse number 10 and what Scripture says. And he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so we're seeing here there's a new creation. And so what Christ does, now that's in Colossians 3. I want to go back to Galatians, move back to Galatians, and let's use another verse here. I'm thinking of a verse here, Galatians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 5. Look with me in verse, I believe it is verse number 4. Speaking of Christ's ability and what he's able to do. Now, Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 4 with me. He says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. You're not going to have part of the law and then part of grace. The Bible does not teach a co-redeemership when it comes to redemption of the soul and spirit of the body of a human being. Only God can do that work through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here, he said, look, if you're in the law, if you want the law, remember Galatians. We just kind of went through Galatians on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, and we began to see, as the Bible taught us in Galatians, that Paul was correcting some false teaching that had gotten in or crept in to the churches of Galatia. And one of them was, well, they were stating and teaching that except you keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so they were asking the Apostle Paul, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the simplicity of the gospel that I had once delivered unto you. You say, what's the simplicity of the gospel? It's this, that false religion is not accepted in God's grace. It's either all of grace or it's going to be all of works. This morning, you do not stand in the middle with half law and half grace with God's salvation. You stand in the middle of law and grace with a works-based salvation, and that will be the pinnacle where judgment will hinge in your life in eternity. Don't accept works. I'll say you have a done religion, that's Jesus Christ, and you have a works-based, a doing religion. You have to do something or not do something to obtain, amen, the grace of God. The Bible is saying simply that false religion, a false way, is not accepted in God's grace. You cannot mix grace and works. And so we see here Jesus was not placing his truth in old bottles. To mix religious legalism with the gospel would render it useless. It would be of no effect. And so here we find back in our text here in Luke, looking at as Christ begins to expound, he is using these parables, and he's saying, look, this parable, he says, look, if you have a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Verse 37, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. That's what happens to an individual who is willing to accept their works, their goodness, whatever, rather than the grace of God by faith. And so we see, secondly, false religion is not accepted in God's grace. Now, religion, of course, religion will teach you otherwise. Religion will tell you, yes, you believe God's grace, and plus you need to be a member of the church, or you need to be water baptized, or you need the sacraments, or you need whatever else we can dream up. That's religion. I say that because there are a number of people in good churches that believe more about what religion says about salvation, works-based, rather than what the gospel says, God's word says about it's a free gift. And we're going to get into that here in a moment. But there's something else. Let's look at verse 38. He gives another analogy. So we see the old and the new garment and how that works. And it doesn't work very well if you're going to use good sense. Secondly, he uses the analogy of old wine bottles versus new wine and mixing new wine in old wine bottles. It doesn't work. You say, why would he use that? Because the people he was speaking to knew just that what he was saying was true. What he was saying was true. So here we see, thirdly, look at verse 39 with me. And he says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. You say, what is he saying there? That's pretty simple. And he's addressing their heart. He's going to say, here's the real problem. You get the old wine bottles versus putting new wine in it. You get the old garment in the new garment. You got that. But here's the real problem. Let's read it again. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, what's he say? The old is better. The scribes and the Pharisees knew all true well what he was saying. And you say, well, what is he actually saying here? False religion always prefers works over grace. They will always say that old way, that old tradition, that old religion, that is the way to salvation. That is the way that Christ is saying. Christ isn't saying that at all. He's saying, look, you're going to look right at me knowing all true well what I'm saying is true, but you're going to say the old way is better than the new. Just like a man, his analogy here in this parable, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. You know, I have found just in the 46 years I've been here, in the coherent years that I can remember and recall dealing with people and salvation and religion, that it's very hard to witness or to have the gospel penetrate a heart of a religious person. It's because they in their heart, because of what they've been through, what they've been taught, what they have adopted as being salvation, they're going to say that old wine, my way is going to be better than the new way. And you're telling me about a gospel, I don't know you all too well. In this gospel, I haven't quite heard it that way. And I've been in church my whole life. Imagine as the Pharisees lay this argument out. They knew the law in and out. That was their job. That's what they were all about. Why do you think they had the moxie to ask Jesus Christ these questions? They stood in a position to where they can ask this type of question. That's what religion will do. You say, so what, did they receive it? No, you know they didn't. Because they think the old way, the Judaism and the law in our text here, this is who he's dealing with, is far better, far superior than Christ, what Christ was laying on him. And Christ is, what do you say, what was Christ doing? Christ was offering them new life. Not an old life, not a patched up life, but a new life, a new creature, a new wine, and this new way, and it was from God. And if he could get them there, then he knew there might be a chance for them to accept it or receive it. Well, if Christ knew they weren't going to receive it, why did he even bother? It's because of the will of man. There might have been somebody there that was listening that changed their heart and mind on what they believe. I'm saying, thirdly, false religion always prefers works over grace. You know, many people have religion but reject Jesus Christ. Religious people think that, well, I accept my religion, then I accept Jesus Christ. That's not what the Bible teaches. I know a lot of people who are very educated in concerning Jesus Christ, but they have never come to Christ as a sinner, calling on him to save them, knowing they need a Savior. They know about him. They know the Bible in and out, but they do not, they see the water. They see the water bottle, they open it up, they know they need a drink, but until they drink it, they're not going to receive the water. You can look at it, you can, whatever you want to do, but until you drink the water, until you drink Christ, then you're not going to receive him. I'm saying Jesus is teaching that someone who had been involved with an old religion may find it difficult to accept the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You see, it's not only just the blindness of maybe pride or religion or education or whatever, wherever you are coming from, whatever angle you're coming from, but you also have a great adversary who is hurtily about trying to keep you blind to the light of the gospel. Jesus Christ, he was the light of the world, the Bible says in John chapter 1. And here he was shedding light on the areas that needed to be changed in a person's life. You can get a person to come to church It's not in coming to church, and you should come to church, by the way, but that's not what saves a person. You can get a person to sing out. You can get a person to give. You can get a person to receive the ordinances of the church. But none of that brings salvation to the soul. That individual, having done all that and never accepted Christ, steps into eternity. They don't go to heaven. They go to a holding place called hell, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is what Christ was trying to get him. Look, you need to miss this place. You need to accept this. But the false religion, man, it's hard. The Bible says it's going to be hard, and the Bible says our adversary is going to keep you blinded. Let me ask you this morning. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Is it your church, your goodness, all the good things you've done, all the good places you've been, all the wonderful people you've helped out. Maybe you've got involved in many different charities or many different organizations. Maybe you've given a lot of money to them, maybe even to the church. I'm here to tell you this morning that none of that has to do with your salvation. And why that's at odds is because it's the same thing that's going on here with the Pharisees. They were at odds with what Christ was kind of saying. They knew what he was saying was true. But they had been taught totally something else, to totally put their trust in Judaism, the law, Moses. That's it. That's the way to grace. That's the way to God. And Christ was, he says, no, that's not the way. You see, Christ didn't come to remove the law. He came to fulfill the law so he could become a substitute sacrifice for the whole world. And he was setting that up, and this is what he was trying to get them to see. Let me say this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God." Let me say this morning, and to whatever religion you have a background in, it's going to be a false way if it doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin offered as a gift. It's a false religion. It's a false way. I don't care if it has Baptist on it. I don't care what it has on it. If it's not teaching and preaching the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection as a free gift to anybody, to whosoever will, then it is a false religion. And if you have sided with that old way, that old false religion, you need to heed. And Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians here that, look, you need to understand that you turn to God from your idols to serve the living God. There needs to be a turning point in your heart and mind to the living God. And you're going to turn from a false way. You say, well, you know, what do you think about people who say they're saved, but they're in a false religion? Well, the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. I serve a God who's able to give you new life. Nobody's exempt from that. Nobody's better from it. Nobody's short of that. If you call on Jesus Christ, he will give you new life. That's what he's about. That's why he come to earth. That's why he died on the cross, to bring new life. I want to say Jesus has already pleased God. Listen to me carefully. Jesus has already pleased God through his sacrificial death on the cross. And salvation is offered by God as a free gift. That's why it's a free gift. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished the work that appeases God. We're too busy trying to appease religion or the church or whoever else we think we're hooked up with. When the pleasing is God, and God says, it is finished, I am pleased, it is well done, now you have to trust in Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice. And so God is able to offer salvation as a free gift. All we have to do is turn from false religion, a false way, and trust in Christ alone to be saved. Now we go back and look at Luke chapter 5, and we begin to read verse 36 and 37 and 38 and then 39. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be a Pharisee. I want to be a disciple. I don't want to continue just to look at what is being said. I want to accept what is being said. this morning, the call is Christ is offering new life. You say, well, that was over when he left the earth. No. He commissioned the Christian, the child of God, to go into the world and share the gospel to every creature, not just a certain sect, not a little over here, but to everybody. You say, why? It's because Christ is still offering that new life today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. That day will end. There will be an ending of that day. And so you'll have a preacher that'll cry out and say, look, don't be that new garment and old garment and try to mix what you think is right versus what God is simply saying. Don't be that new wine trying to enter and pour into an old bottle without changing that old bottle. It isn't going to work. Don't be the person at the end of the conclusion saying, well, I still prefer my old way. This is what Christ was teaching. Let's all stand this morning. Christ offers new life. There are those that will put their faith and trust in a denomination. There are those who will put their faith and trust in what their mom or dad believed. Not what they believe now, but what mom and dad believed or taught, rather than what the scripture says. There are those that will put their faith and trust in maybe a works-based religion or way that they're comfortable with. They believe they have family with all the good stuff. Nothing bad about it. But here's the problem. It's still a false way. And all it takes is a little bit of falseness to make any part of truth wrong. And this is what Christ was trying to get the religious order of the day to see and say, I'm not working with an old bottle. I'm going to change that old bottle. I'm not working with an old garment to patch it up and put a new, I'm going to give you a new garment. He even says in Isaiah, he says, look, I'll give you a new heart. I'll instill you a heart, the right heart. And ultimately he knew that that's just where it's going to go. But no man also having drunk of old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith, the old is better. This morning, are you saying the old is better than what is being preached? Hopefully not. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Brother Jeff, why don't you sing a verse of a song you have there for us as we listen to the Holy Spirit.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.